It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
That's right. It's Shark Week on the roast today. Baldy in for all 4 hours. 888-957-9570. Ask Baldy anything. Ask him anything. Ask about the Golden Gate Bridge. He'll have a take. Ask about Philly cheesesteaks. He'll have a take. Ask him about the Eiffel Tower. Baldy could break that down to a T. Matter of fact, I'm going to have him do that since we came off the Olympics a couple weeks ago here. Baldy in studio. George Kittle in about 13 minutes here on the roast, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. All right, Baldy's on the phone. Shasky, could you break down the Eiffel Tower? If you had a chance to break down the Eiffel Tower, how would you break it down?
I think one of the greatest moments in cinema history is when the Eiffel Tower has the terrorists that are going to take over, and Lois Lane gets stuck up at the top, and Superman has to come and save her.
Baldy, turn your mic on, man. Break down the Eiffel Tower for us.
Didn't they use part of the Eiffel Tower in World War II like to create bullets?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, look that up. It's just stuck in my head. Oh. You know, like one of the tours I've had.
Are you a history guy, a buff?
Yeah, history teaches us only that, you know, history teaches us nothing. We keep repeating ourselves.
I mean, he could break down the Golden Gate Bridge. Your thoughts,
the Golden Gate Bridge. They never stop painting the Golden Gate Bridge. It is always in the state of being painted.
Yes.
Like I've driven my bike over there many, many times to Sausalito. And I always marvel at the entire structure. But I think, like, if I jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge for fun, could I survive? Could I handle the landing? Like, I just, that has crossed my mind.
Well, one of our buddies did.
Yeah.
Did he survive?
He survived. Yeah. The SEALs helped him. They kept him up.
Really?
Yeah. I think he was like 70 feet underwater or something like that.
Wow.
And the SEALs saved him. Saved his life.
Back. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
So I don't think you ought to do that.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that.
I mean, no, you're a Superman, but I mean,
no, I'm a big fan. It's it's an amazing bridge. It's an amazing structure. It's an iconic structure in this whole world. Like this, the engineering of that thing. There's the Verrazano Bridge, there's the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, there's just certain bridges that I'm just amazed at how they build it and the structure of it.
We got a great question from our boy Burker the Creek. Burker the Creek, he's a big time roaster. Just got a question for you. Favorite activity you did this summer, non-football activity, because we follow you on Instagram, Baldy. There's not too many people who live a better life than you.
I rented this the Zodiac in Sardinia, right? And so, like, I'm not a great boat driver. And I'm out there with my girlfriend, and we're cruising around. And, like, when we're leaving the harbor with this boat, I'm looking at the landmarks. Like, I'm not, because there's always these islands up there around Olbia where I was. So I leave, and we're in there, and I'm like, I'm diving and jumping in the water. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this storm kind of starts building up. So the waves, it's the water's getting choppy, and all these yachts are out there, and you're in the wake of these yachts, and they're all going in because the storm is coming, and I freaking lost my landmark. And I'm out there, and my girlfriend said, "Do you know where you're at?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I know where I'm at." I had no idea. Like, I didn't see one little thing that looked familiar. Like, we end up going 6 miles past it, right? Now we're talking to guys that are like driving these yachts and everything, like, "Hey, we're so and so, you know, where's this one?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, you got to go back that way 6 miles." And I'm like, "Oh my god!" Now it's starting to rain. I'm like, it was fun, but it was like a little like harebrained too.
Baldy getting rattled. Didn't have that on my bingo card.
Baldy getting befuddled. Yeah. I'm cool off that. And trust me, I totally get it. I'm a big pool guy. I'm a big, you know, I like to swim. Love swimming. Mm-hmm. And now you tell me who's right or wrong in this scenario. The wife kind of rolls her eyes at me because I'm the biggest kid in the pool. Mm-hmm. We can't just go swimming. Mm-hmm. At the pool, I got to bring the tennis ball. I got to bring the little football. Mm-hmm. We got to play catch. And we've got to like work on like stretch outs as you're jumping in pool. And then the lifeguard gets mad at me. The bench used to be named the Shasky the Bench because I used to get in trouble so much that we renamed the bench. I carved my name into it. This is honest God truth up in Rianito. And we have to bring the tennis ball or the mini football, and mm-hmm. we got to play catch. And we got to be throwing it across the pool. Yeah. Some people roll their eyes, but then all the kids jump in, and you got to make the acrobatic catches. Should I phase out of being the big kid in the pool?
No, it's paramount. Like I taught swimming lessons growing up. So I've taught 6 month old kids to swim. I've taught kids to jump off the diving board. I've taught nieces and nephews how to dive. Like I've always done that thing off. I got a pool in my backyard. Like I've got a diving board. I can't tell you how many kids I've thrown that football to where they got to lay out and make that catch. Like we've done that. It's like throwing a tennis ball to a golden retriever. Like some of these kids, you can't do it enough.
And I'm one of them.
And like all their parents of their kids are like, oh, thank God, Baldy. Like, because now they're going to sleep tonight. They're exhausted.
They're exhausted. They're sleep. Yeah, I know I'm going to get a great sleep.
So, Baldy, can you do a forward flip or back flip off the side of the pool? Because I can do a forward flip. I'm not as agile as I used to be. These kids were doing running back flips. I was so impressed.
I watched Tony Hawk growing up, you know, so he's watched all these acrobatic things of guys on skateboards, whatever. But I could do a backflip. I could never do a front flip. It was easier to do a backflip than a front
flip.
Really?
See, I go the other way. I go this way and can flip myself this way. Again, not getting a lot of air. I mean, I'm landing more on my butt than I am anything else.
It's always been easier off the side of the pool. Now, off the diving board, like, I could do a lot of
things.
Yeah,
the diving board's different.
But off of the side, I can definitely still probably do a backflip.
So I had the 9-month-old, and he wasn't allowed in the pool for a variety of reasons until maybe a couple months ago. So this is all new. I blow into the face and then, you know, submerge him into mm-hmm. the water. Is that the way to do it?
That's one way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all those things are, the pool is the greatest thing ever constructed for a kid in the summer.
Oh my gosh. My daughter's going up to Calistoga, which is about an hour and a half away with the grandparents mm-hmm. next week. And we were in swim class. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe how well she's done. She just jumps in. She's 3 years old and I'm out there getting stuff ready, getting towels. And she's just jumping in the pool and parents are freaking out. I'm like, oh no, she's good. She's good. And you know, she's just like,
you know what's interesting about the whole thing with kids in a pool, especially when they're three?
Yep.
Is like they have a natural fear. Especially like in the deep end, right?
For sure.
Natural fear. Until the one day they will eventually push off from the side of the pool and come get you. And once they push away from that pool, from that side, they never have that fear again.
Nope.
It goes away. In one day, it goes away.
No, we were throwing her in the pool when she was like 9 months old, just tossing her in the pool. She can't get enough of it. She's in there all day long. So the pool, you're right, it is great. And it wears her the hell out. She sleeps in her bed all night long, all that stuff. Couple more questions for you before we get George Kittle on the show in about 6 minutes. Got Raider fans here. We still got a lot of Raider fans out here listening to the show. They want to know, Baldy, did they make the right decision with their quarterback choice, Gardner Minshew over O'Connell?
I would say, look, if you looked up the stats between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew over the last 3 years, Minshew's got better stats than Trevor Lawrence. Now, I'm not saying he's Trevor Lawrence, but he was 7-6 as a starter in Indianapolis last year, and that's with the running back that held out and wasn't ever really getting in shape last year, and Jonathan Taylor. He found a way to win 7 games. He's a baller. I think he's a little limited. Look, Aiden O'Connell made some mistakes in that last game. I think, you know, Antonio made the right choice. Personally, I would have found a way to trade in front of Denver and drafted Bo Nix myself.
Yeah,
Spadoni's our resident Raider fan, shaking his head.
Brock Bowers looks legit.
All right, but I mean, you're gonna Mike Mayer and
no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I mean, it's a little bizarre to draft two tight ends that high like that. How are you gonna make that work?
I mean, they wanted Penix though, right? Like that was the guy. Like no one saw Atlanta trading up that high to get Mike. Did. Sorry, you know what? Yeah. You are right. Excuse me, I'll walk that.
No, I would have taken Penix.
If Atlanta could do a redo, would they allow the Raiders to sign Kirk Cousins and they sign Christian Watkins?
Ooh. Yeah, that would be a different. I mean, they have pretty good depth of defensive tackle now, but Wilkins is pretty special player.
Wilkins, excuse me, I said.
No, it's all right.
I'm just throwing it out. It just the Kirk Cousins thing. It feels like Penix is eventually going to play this year.
Mm-hmm. I think so, but look, I mean, do they waste $100 million on Kirk? I don't know. We'll find out and see how he plays. But he's there. to at least win the division and get to the playoffs. That's what he's there for. And if that isn't going in that direction at some point, Michael Penix is going to get on the field.
Who's the team that we're not talking about that we should be?
I think Tampa's going to be good. I think Tampa's going to be really good.
Last week, yeah. Tampa. He's
I think Tampa's going to be real good. Who else? You know, like, I think Chicago is going to be good. I don't know when they're going to catch fire, if they do. But if they catch fire like Green Bay did in the second half of the season, like, they could unseat some teams. I think Seattle is going to be a lot better than what
Seattle
people think.
Seattle concerns me. That head coach, he impressed me with the way he ran that defense in Baltimore. Now? He impressed the hell out of me. We were talking about that during the break. Mm-hmm. McDonald up there in Seattle, he was at Michigan with Harbaugh, goes to Baltimore, runs that defense. We saw what they did on Christmas night, saw what they did all season long, and now he's in Seattle with those 12s, and he's got the book like, hey, Christmas Day, this is what I did to Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. Going to be very, very interesting.
I would say Cincinnati. I mean, if Joe Burrow's in the lineup.
You love Burrow.
He's unreal. Like, it doesn't matter who he's throwing it to. Like, that guy, just watch that guy practice. He's just a surgeon. And then you talk to, you know, if you talk to a Troy Aikman, or you talk to anybody in this league that, you know, played a position at a high level, they'll tell you, like, okay, there was Tom, you know, for 20 years. It's Joe. Like, he's the everything from the technique to the fundamentals to how he goes through progressions. Like, he's just, he's better than everybody. Like, he's got an MVP coming one of these days.
Now, speaking of which, because you say he's better than everybody, when I talk about the guy in Kansas City, who you covered in Big 12
country.
Well,
I mean, look, I mean, he's like in a separate category.
Yeah, I know. Behold, hey, dude, how did they? I watched him in the pre, and it's just
he's
preseason. But I see them get Xavier Worthy, and the minute they drafted Xavier Worthy, I said, damn, well, Andy Reid doesn't need that toy.
No, but like, if you look at Andy Reid's history, and I've been around Andy since the day he got signed in Philadelphia, 1999. But in 2004, they got T.O. And literally, the offense, he'd had pedestrian receivers before, and they were good. But as soon as he got T.O., it was bombs away. Like, you saw that play. Like, literally, it's 3rd and 10 last week. It's the opening drive of the game, and here's Xavier Worthy on the 7 cut. And there's Mahomes just, you know, firing a bomb. And the guy is way more than just a fast receiver. Like, this guy can run legitimate routes. He's got excellent hands. And then, you know, if you don't cloud him, and I don't know what Detroit's secondary was doing with him, but, you know, Carson Wentz comes in the game, throw it to an open patch of grass, let that kid go get it. Like, that offense is going to open up.
I mean, and then Hollywood Brown is going to come back at some point at all this speed. You got Travis Kelce. Rasheed Rice looks like he's taking another level. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs, man. Like, I know we all hate them around here because they beat the Niners twice in the Super Bowl. But they're so damn fun to watch. I hate saying that. They're so fun to watch, Baldy. That's got to be a fun breakdown, watching Mahomes. Like, I know Shasky hate watching Mahomes, but you break them down when you get the morning breakdowns.
How many guys would even attempt to throw the ball behind their back? Why would you even try that in a game? I talked to quarterbacks.
When I watch the quarterback doc on him, it's like he is wired for success. If he was a ping pong player, he'd be the best ping pong player. If it was baseball, basketball, he is maniacally obsessed with competing. And you talk about brilliant minds. He just sees everything before it happens.
I remember talking about that, Shasky, where the receiver doc, everybody's like going crazy over Kirk Cousins. Oh, what a great guy Kirk Cousins is. And I'm watching the receiver doc. I'm in Maui at the time. Yeah. And I'm thinking, these guys said, Kirk Cousins, biggest takeaway is Mahomes is the dude.
Well, and his wife is
stuck
all
down on Mariota. But
I remember, like, you know, when he came to Texas Tech, talking to Cliff Kingsbury, like, he never recruited him during the season. He's coaching. But he went to see him play basketball. And he was from Tyler, Texas. So he goes to this basketball playoff game, and Mahomes is draining threes. And, you know, he's the guy. Like, it didn't matter what sport he was playing. You watch him play golf. You watch him compete in anything. Like, not just compete, but the preparation to compete is second to none. And like that has never changed.
When I watched like all of the different injuries with Jimmy Garoppolo, and everybody's different, and you know, just the way that they react on the sideline. And then I saw Mahomes with the high ankle sprain or whatever the ankle issue was specifically. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the injury was. And he's yelling at Andy Reid like, no, I'm not coming out of this game. Like, maniacally obsessed. I'm thinking to myself, like, that's a guy you're going to war with. I mean, he has to literally be dragged off the field by the organization because he really thinks that he's going to help the team win, even at, you know, 40%.
Yeah, no, there's no. I mean, that is a real clip of him right there. Just like he did not want to go in and get X-rayed. He did not want to know what was going on. Like he wanted to, you know. And that whole build up to the Super Bowl, like, was all about the ankle.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt against the Eagles. And at halftime, Andy Reid went to Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, and was like, "We're running the damn ball. We're running the ball. We don't know what this guy's going to be able to, or not be able to do."
By the way, news with the Niners: right guard Dominic Pooney named the starting right guard for the San Francisco 49ers.
His performance last week cemented that. But the week before, he was good. He just honestly doesn't look like a rookie. Like, nothing about his movement, the way that he plays the game, looks like a rookie. Like, he just, it's amazing, because I forget where he went before he went to Kansas, but, like, Kansas doesn't turn out offensive linemen, you know. But this kid, like, he's got a base. He's got unbelievable power and strength. Like, I watched him flip a defensive lineman the other day, and I'm like, if McCaffrey's running behind us, man, he's walking in the end zone.
When you say Kansas football, I think of three players. Aqib Talib, I think of Dana Stubblefield and Gilbert Brown.
Okay.
What about the Kansas Comet? Gail Sayers, baby.
Well, I'm talking about...
I gotta scold Gilbert Brown.
So
I thought you should say Akeem Adeniji, but yeah. No.
How did Gilbert Brown and Dana Stubblefield go to Kansas? Like,
I know.
Gilbert Brown was one of the largest human beings of all time.
The gravedigger. The original gravedigger.
And who was the head coach for a long time there? The big boy.
Yeah, the big heavy set.
I forget what it is. They went to the Orange Bowl one year and took that classic
number
picture.
Number two. That was with... With the defensive back you just
Mark
said.
Mark Mangino.
Yeah, Mark Mangino. It was Aqib Talib.
Yeah, Khalid.
Aqib Talib was a bad man.
He was. He was a good player.
No, very good.
I think he's a great commentator.
Is he doing it?
I think
he was
good.
Doing it for Fox a couple years ago with Gus Johnson.
And then some stuff happened.
He's very raw, but Aqib, that's what he does, man. Yeah. I said, how's it working with Steve Smith? You know, he's one of my favorite players.
We're talking about
Steve Smith, one of the toughest SOBs that we see on the field, and he tells it like it is.
Steve, because I never know what he's going to say. Never. What comes out of his mouth and is so unpredictable. He doesn't know a cliche. Like, he just. However his mind works, like, he's just an amazing guy, though, honestly, man. Like, you, first of all, the guy's got more businesses, like, between rental homes and fixing up apartments.
Smart,
like,
man.
He started this one software business, and one of his sons is kind of running it for him. Like, he's just a very, he's from Compton, straight out of Compton, right? But, like, tough but smart, family guy. And when it comes to football, like, he just... Like, he says things that I would never think.
I love Steve Smith Sr.
Yeah.
Love him. It was a great pickup with him at NFL Network, and a hell of a player. Pound for pound, one of the best receivers out there.
If you talk to all the receivers out there, of guys that deserve to get in the hall, everybody unanimously will say Steve.
Look at his quarterbacks. He was incredible with a variety of different guys.
Jake DeLome, yeah.
DeLome was sweet, though, for a couple years.
Yeah,
I love
Jake
DeLome.
Was great, man. Yeah.
No, you know, the elbow went out.
From straight out of Bow Bridge, Louisiana.
Yeah, man. No,
he was
that
a gunslinger.
Yeah.
I was rooting for them so hard in that Super Bowl.
Well, I know. That was one of those Super Bowls where it was like, is this game ever going to get going? And then the second half, it was just bang, 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 bang. It just took off.
Yeah, there was no points in the first quarter. It's kind of a dogfight. And next thing you know, Musha Muhammad's going deep.
Yeah.
You know, Deshaun Foster scored a touchdown, diving into the end zone.
I want to get to Andy Reid as we're waiting on Kittle to show up here. But Andy Reid, it feels like the rule changes have really benefited the offense over the last 15, 20 years. I mean, he's got three championships right now. Mm-hmm. He's been to four.
Mm-hmm.
And if he plays his cards right and things fall their way and maybe he gets another one, a couple more. I mean, when it's all said and done, how are we going to remember him? I Walsh is Walsh, and he had the 3 and 9 years, 10 years. Belichick went to, 8 and 1-6. He stands pretty high.
Couple
Vince Lombardi
somewhere. As well.
Boy, he's done it.
As D coordinator as well.
Yes, but I don't think people necessarily give him. I agree with you, but nobody gives him that.
Well,
that
there's a couple things about Andy. First of all, he's done it in the NFC and the AFC.
Yeah,
all right?
That's a good point.
100 wins in each division.
That's crazy.
That's that. You look at the tree of coaches that Andy Reid has put out. I mean, you're going back to, like, Marty Morningweg and, you know, Ron
Dougie
Rivera.
P.
You know, like his tree, Mark. You know, like it's like somewhere around. Like 9 or 10 coaches now that he's got out there, in addition to coordinators and the whole thing, like his tree of coaches. But he learned that from Mike Holmgren, who learned it from Bill Walsh, and how you develop the next guys. And so he's just been, there's nobody else that can tinker the way Andy Reid can tinker.
He's done it with so many different quarterbacks and so many styles. And I don't know. I'm fascinated by
him. Jeff Garcia 1 year when
they won a division.
They won a division when Garcia came out there.
I mean, Alex Smith's best years were with him, you know. And I just thinking of like where Kyle's at and Andy Reid, and it feels like Kyle is going down that Andy Reid path where he's just been snake bitten in late in games in these big championship moments. And I still think he's a great coach. There's just a couple of little things he's got to iron out.
I mean, the difference is Mahomes. He's got Mahomes. Like, I mean, he had McNabb, he had all these guys, and they were all good. And they all had great seasons. And he had conference championships, and he got to a Super Bowl against New England. But the difference right now is just Mahomes. He's just, like, it's just fascinating. The respect that Pat has for Andy is exactly what you need. I'm not saying that other quarterbacks and coaches don't have it. But it's just this deep, deep-rooted respect for what he does and how he does it.
You know, we were talking about one play we could take away as fans. You know, I think a 3rd and 15 in Super Bowl 54 when Mahomes hits Tyreek Hill. Yep. Some people say the Roger Craig fumble around here. Mm. What's one play in your career that you wish went differently that could have maybe spurred you and your team to another level winning the Super Bowl? Because I know you were on that great – weren't you on that Eagles team that beat the Saints in a wild card game?
Yeah, we lost to Dallas the next week. And I mean, like, you know, back then, I mean, Troy was just, you know – like, they every third down, I don't care if Seth Joyner was draped all over the tight end, the ball was just perfectly thrown. I don't know. Like, we were in it with Dallas for a half, and then, like, their talent level just took over. Like, you know, you'd have – I was playing left guard that day, and, like, you start, and there's Leon Lett right there in front of you, and then here comes Russell Maryland.
Wow.
Like, that was, like, they were too deep at every position.
Russell Maryland, that's a name. I mean, he was a monster.
That guy was like 6 foot tall. Like, he played like he was as low as the curb. Like, you couldn't get underneath him. He never stayed blocked. Like, he was just a pain in the ass.
He was a Miami guy, right?
Yes. Yeah. So third overall pick.
So we're talking, it was on the NBC yesterday. We're talking about all-time college teams, right? Mm-hmm. Who would have the best all-time team? Yeah. And USC came to mind, Michigan, Ohio State.
USC.
But Miami. And I mean, when you take all the talent that they've churned out over the last 30 years.
Well, you just saw like Andre Johnson and Devin Hester go in. Like, they were actually, like, Devin came when Andre just left. So, like, they were there for like
Reggie
one spring.
Wayne on that team with
Reggie
him.
Wayne. Like, you just, like, so, you know, and then
Reggie Wayne.
I'm talking to the edge. And, like, I think they have 13 guys in the hall right now. Like, you know, Sapp and, you know, Ed Reed and, you know, just keep going on and on and on. Jim Kelly. Like, it was just an amazing time.
They had Bernie Kosar, the late great Jerome Brown with Philadelphia. Yep. I mean, they had nothing but studs.
The running back room at one point was like Najee Davenport, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Clinton Portis. Yeah.
And I played with a guy that went there, Albert Bentley, who was an unbelievable player. Like, he was from those, I guess, late 80s teams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when they started turning around.
Eddie Brown, wide receiver, a long time with the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course, the playmaker. I mean, it's just so big. Like, Edgerrin James, I think we were talking about him between the breaks, doesn't get the respect. He was a three-down back. I mean, like the common fans, these youngsters, I never hear Edge's name around here.
He was great with Arizona.
First of all, he led the league in rushing as a rookie. His first 2 years, he led the league in rushing. Like, you know, he's 21 years old. And, you know, that was Ricky Williams' draft in 1998. So, I mean, when people were like, well, how did he get drafted, you know, in front of Ricky? Well, like, he could catch the ball.
Yep.
Like, he was an unbelievable receiver. And he was super smart, you know. And so he was just, and like, they had Marshall, and they drafted Edger, you know, like.
I didn't know who Edge was, Shasky.
Nobody did.
They had a game. I never forget this because UCLA was great with Bob Toledo, Kate McNown, and they were rolling.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, running back.
So they had a game scheduled against Miami, but it got postponed due to a hurricane. So they played Miami early December, last game of the season. UCLA's like number one, number two team in the country. And this is where they had regional coverage, so I couldn't get the game. I'm watching some college game. I'm just like, I just want live updates. So they would go live updates at the Miami-UCLA game, and Edge ran for like $2.99. Yeah. I was like, who the hell is that? Yeah. And this is where Miami was just starting to ascend under Butch Davis, and then as you know, he's in the Hall of Fame.
All right, rapid fire to the two of you. All right, these are things that me and my dad and my brother would do all the
time. Howard Schnellenberger started that program.
Yeah, he did, though. Yeah, much respect to him.
Rapid fire. 1 yard for your life. Who's the running back you're taking?
I'll take Eric Dickerson.
Okay, you.
Oh, man, that's
my dad took Derrick Henry.
I love Derrick Henry. I'm going to pay respect to the olds. I'm going to go Earl Campbell.
Earl Campbell, all right.
Okay, good.
30 seconds to
That's
go.
Tough.
One timeout. You need a field goal. Who's your quarterback?
Mahomes.
I got to go Montana.
Okay. I mean, you can't go wrong. You
can't go wrong at all.
You need a stop. Who's the defensive player that you're counting on?
Oh, Lawrence Taylor.
I'll take Reggie.
Dude, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Head coach, you've got 2 weeks to prepare. It could be a bowl game or a Super Bowl. Who's the guy you're taking? 2 weeks to prepare.
I'm taking Parcells.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to go Belichick.
Yeah.
I have to go Belichick. I can't believe I'm not saying Bill Walsh or Chuck Knoll.
Walsh never lost a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you just some of the things. I mean, he did lose big games. Don't get me wrong. Yep. But he never lost a bowl game. I mean, what he did at Stanford, I know it's kind of forgotten because of the Niner stuff. Stanford.
What made Parcells so special? He won everywhere.
That guy's ability to motivate is second to none. He coached the coaches. I'll tell you a Parcells story real quick. So I'm at Saratoga a couple years ago at the racetrack, and I see him. So I go over and I start talking to him. So, you know, you can't talk to Bill and not get stories. So 1 year, they draft Jumbo Elliott out of Michigan. And, you know, everybody said he's a right tackle. He can't play left tackle. But Bill doesn't know. So he goes to LT. He goes, listen, LT, look, it's training camp, and you know, you got your thing going on, but I need the best of you for a week. He goes, what do you got, coach? He goes, I got to find out if this Jumbo Elliott can play left tackle. Can you give him the best you got? And just, you tell me if he can play. 2 days go by, and LT knocks on Parcells' door at night, and he's like, coach, you got your left tackle. Like he said, he was just like, he everything I gave him, he handled.
I love it.
Aww. Yeah, and gave it back. Like that stuff, like you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere for any place he was at, the Jets, the Giants, the Cowboys. You can't go anywhere and not have Parcells' story still floating around.
All right, we're going to bring in George Kittle. When did you know George Kittle would be an all-pro tight end, Baldy, when he started breaking his film down? Let's bring in a people's tight end, a two-time all-pro, five-time pro bowler, coming off a 1,000-yard season, number 85 for your San Francisco 49ers, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? George Kittle, what's happening? Welcome to the Morning Roast, man, your debut. We got Joe Shasky, the Butcher, Bonte Hill. We got Brian Baldinger. What you know about Brian Baldinger, George?
Holy cow, what an intro. You went from a whole presentation right into an ad. Like, that is seamless. That was incredible.
Hey, George, that's what we call pros, right? That's a professional from
George. Jeez, has been watching Warrior pre and post.
No, I don't think, George. You watch Warrior games, George?
Do I watch Warrior games? Yeah, every once in a while. I always like to watch Steph Curry.
Yeah, I always know you come to Chase Center. You're always sitting courtside. You have those fancy seats. But if you're watching Tube, it's like Chris Mullen, there's Festus Ezeli, then there's this out-of-shape guy trying to wear a suit named Bonte Hill. But, you know, I still love the Niners too, though, George.
No, I've seen you guys up there before. You guys do a hell of a job.
I appreciate that, and you do a hell of a job on the football field. What about Baldy? We got Baldy here all 4 hours. He loves hanging out with us. Loves hanging out with us. I don't know why. I have no idea why. But what do you think when you see a Baldy breakdown? Do you get jealous when he doesn't break down your film first?
Ha! Oh, I love Baldy. What I love about Baldy is that he loves ball. And you can tell by the way he talks about guys, the way he breaks down their tape, the way they interact with guys at every single practice, how he talks to offensive linemen, and how he lets defensive linemen know that they'll always try and aspire to be offensive linemen, but they're just not good enough.
George,
I appreciate up, Baldy.
George, I told these guys when they sat down today, they're like, who do you love to break down? I'm like, so I'm just like, I didn't know you were coming on the show, George. I just said, hey, your Kittle blocking is worth, like, I think Kittle loves a great block more than a great touchdown. Like, that's what it looks like to me. And when you can get a 2-for-1 out there, like it's a Macy Day sale or something like that, George, like, I'm getting excited in the film room. Like, I'm screaming at the screen watching you, like, just the joy that you have of putting somebody down their back, George, and there goes, you know, McCaffrey off your butt there. You're working with, you know, in unison with Juice or with Trent. Like, it's just fun to watch, George.
Oh, I really appreciate that, Baldy. It's fun to be a part of an offense that takes the run game so seriously. And when you can run all the fun outside zone stuff, we have all the motion stuff. But at the end of the day, when Coach Shanahan is still comfortable enough to call God's play 16 power and just run gap scheme down someone's throat,
there's
just something about being a part of an offense that just takes pride in that. And when I could be the tip of the spear sometimes with that, it just makes me want to put my best stuff on tape every single week. And that's why we practice the way that we practice and we go the way we go.
Well, I know Kyle, like he hammers it hard. He learned from some of the best that did it. But the thing about it, though, George, is you tell us, is when you are running 15 power down somebody's throat, right, and you can feel that you're breaking the sword, you're breaking the opponent's will, they're bitching at each other on the field about not being in the gap or whatever. Like, there's a joy that only a player that's involved. You fans can't feel that. The commentators can't feel it, but you feel that, George. When you're breaking the sword, you know you got that game won.
Oh, yeah. No, if you have like a 75-play drive and six of the seven plays are run plays, there's nothing that is more demoralizing to a defense because there's just nothing that they can do about it. When you find your groove, when, hey, the deuces and the trays and everything is just flowing together perfectly and there's nothing they can do, and then, hey, they try to blitz you just because they're trying to stop it and you catch them in the blitz and McCaffrey pops around the outside for another 40, there's just nothing like that because, you know, everyone gets lucky sometimes with the pass play, a DB falls down, you have the perfect concept, but when you just go hip to hip and you blade drill a defense lineman up to a linebacker and you roll them out, it's hard to beat that feeling.
George, did you end up watching any of the receiver doc?
Did I watch any of it?
Yeah,
a couple episodes. I know there are a couple people in there I was interested in watching.
Yeah, because I thought that you and your family it came off so endearing to so many people, so relatable, like seeing how hard your wife is fighting for you guys and just the, you know, the love that she has for you. And then the letters that your dad wrote, I just thought that was really special. And that the fact that you opened that up, I thought it was really cool and to put that out there, and then seeing all you guys kind of praying and huddling together before the Eagle game, I mean, that got Niner fans so fired up.
I appreciate that. You know, I've just tried to show everybody that I am really a normal guy with a very supportive and loving family, and I just want people to know that. Like, I'm very down to earth. My wife's, she's an absolute badass. She keeps me very grounded, and my parents love the hell out of me. So it's just, I want to show that off to people because it is a normal thing. Like, that's how you should treat your family members and those around you. And, like, when you have a support staff like that, when you have people around you that just love you that way, it allows you to go out and be your best self every single day. So just want to normalize that and let people know that, hey, at the end of the day, like while we're football players, our faces are everywhere. There's ads and stuff like that. I'm just a normal dude that just plays a kids game, and my family's there to support me.
Yeah, and I thought the family came off great. Your wife came off like a superstar, super supportive. When she had all the shoes hanging down from the kitchen, I thought that was super cool for your birthday. And then Bosa making an appearance. Does Bosa not hang out with the boys? Why was that such a big deal?
Oh, just getting Bosa out of the house. Like, he's always down. He'll play some pool. You can go to his place. He's very great at the stadium. But when he's at his house, yeah, he's hibernating. That's just what he likes to do. He likes to do his stuff. That's Bosa for it. And so I was very surprised to see that my wife got out of the house.
George Kittle here on the River Islands guest line on the morning roast. Shasky, Bonte, and Baldy in studio here all morning long since Shasky brought up shoes. I was a little jealous I wasn't at that presser last week when you were talking about Matt Mayoko and Cam Emmett and Grant Cohn. Of course, their shoe game is lackluster, George. I wanted to get down there on my Jordan 5s, my Jordan 4s. So what is your favorite shoe right now? Since you got all the shoes at the party and whatnot, what is the shoe George Kittle has to... If you had one date night with your wife and you're going out there, you're like, boy, I got one choice here. What's the shoes you're wearing out there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question. And I like to, you know, I like to wear some loud shoes a lot. I think my favorite pair is the Chunky Dunks.
Oh,
just like with the cow print. I'm the Ben and Jerry edition. Like, I'm a huge fan of those. I absolutely love those. My holy grail is the Red October Yeezys.
Ooh.
Which I was able to get a pair of those from my local Fix Kicks out here in San Jose. They hooked it up. So I was able to find some of those. Besides that, like, I'm a huge Jordan 1 guy, whether highs or lows.
Mm-hmm.
Those, they're just wrong with them. I actually like, they're comfy too. You break them in a little bit. They're so comfy. And then I got all the, like, I'm a big Spider-Man guy. So I got like the Origins. I got whatever the dot ones are called, but I'm a big fan of that as well. So I I'm a Jordan 1 Dunk guy.
I love the Jordan 1 Dunks. I got those. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to... I love the Jordans. It's a tough choice every single day. But Baldy, what do you think Baldy walks around in? See, I got Baldy as a Croc guy or just sandals, toes out. What do you think Baldy's rocking on a day-to-day basis, George? Ooh. If you had to guess.
I got no shoe game, George. I got no shoe game.
I know.
I do my best work barefoot, George. Like, I live on a beach
in Florida. I know you do. I know.
I'm in flip-flops. If I'm barefoot, George, like, I know I'm happy. Like, I'm in a good spot if I'm barefoot.
I would definitely say, you know, at the most, he's going to get into some Birkenstocks.
No.
But
my girlfriend would kick me out of the house if I ever had those on, George.
Oh, right, Baldy, you got to get into those, man. I'd say like half the Niners wear Birkenstocks. They're just the most convenient, comfortable shoes.
George,
possible.
I got the Reefs. I got the beer flip. You know, I can just flip them over. I can pop that beer top with them. Like, the Reefs, they just do me fine.
You know what? If your sandals have a beer opener on the bottom, yeah. That's what you want. That's what you call a twofer, Baldy.
That's a twofer, George. You got it.
I love that.
Hey, George, I'm going to ask you a football question here, if you don't mind, because
love football.
I just broke down your right guard yesterday, Dominic Pooney. And when I watched the
Pooney?
Guy, George, this kid, he doesn't look like a rookie to me. He looks like he's been playing in this league. Like, he's gotten a lot of reps in preseason. Like, I know he's got power, and he's huge. Like, I think he's an unbelievable addition and upgrade on the offensive line right now.
I think Pooney has done everything that you could have wanted him to do and more. As a rookie, you know, like, anyone that comes in as a rookie, it's hard to succeed right away, especially when you're just thrust onto the starting role because a couple guys have gotten hurt in front of you. But, like, that's just it. What the great thing about that is when your name is called, your number is called, and there's an opportunity, like, what are you going to do? And all he's done is take advantage of it. You saw him, he played really well against the Titans, and he comes out and plays really well last week against the Saints, and you see him in practice, and he's very consistent all the time.
Yep.
He goes the right direction every single time. He understands the calls. And I think really probably the only bad thing about Pooney's right now is that he likes to call out all the deuce and the bees, and so then the D-line knows exactly what he's doing every single time. So, but he'll figure that out as a way to, like, you know, you don't need to communicate that. So, like, if that's the worst thing that it's going for you, you're doing a hell of a job.
We've been playing a lot of Baldy's music this morning. He's a big Boss guy. You know, he loves Springsteen and Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, a variety of people out there. Who's on your playlist right now? Like, what's the song? Like, for example, I play Fast Car because Luke Combs, it's just knocking. I know it's an older one. It's been around for a minute. But for whatever reason, I just, it's on repeat. It's on repeat. What's the song right now for you that's on repeat?
That's on repeat? Oh, what? So I'm a big Jelly Roll guy. I actually love Jelly Roll because he's a Nashville guy.
Yeah.
So Jelly's one of my top guys. And besides that, I would say Kid Quill's up there for me. He's kind of like a Mac Miller vibe, which I really appreciate. And that's just great music. And then I'm a big Wolf Mother guy. Give me some Joker and the Thief. And also, I'll listen to Bruce Springsteen's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town at any point during the year. That's the best Christmas song ever.
You said Jelly Rolls, and I'm confused here. I thought you was talking about my body here, George. Like, Jelly Rolls on the side and everything. Like, Jelly Rolls. Oh, okay.
He's very popular right now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got a hold of my game, George. I got a hold of my game.
We're in our 40s.
Hip hop and R&B all the time, man. I mean, I need some help here.
Oh, dude, we got to listen to Jelly Roll, my guy. He has a new album coming out. He just did a song with MGK. He's all over. He was also on Post Malone's new album.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you another football question in your game, because you've done everything.
Please.
You block as Baldy broke down. You catch the pass. You catch passes. You had a hell of a season last year. And you go in these streaks where, you know, you may be quiet for a couple games in the pass game, and then next thing you know, there's 9 for 181. There's 7 for 100. There's, you know, 5 for 150. Where do you think you need to improve your game at this stage of your career? Because you've done basically everything on the football field.
Oh, I mean, I'm trying to get better every single day. I mean, I was just watching the tape yesterday, and I have a bad inside hand on my outside zone. And so it's just constantly critiquing yourself and constantly trying to get better at one thing at a time. And one thing I always try to talk to, you know, my tight ends, or, you know, before we go out, like, to team reps, is, hey, pick one thing and get better at today, whether it's your first step, whether it's your second step, whether it's your aiming point, your horizontal leverage, your vertical leverage, whatever it is, pick one thing, whether it's you want to attack the ball better in your routes. Like, it's one thing I always do better at. You know, I'm definitely, I think I'm, like, top two body catchers in the NFL, and I got to get better at catching my hands more consistently, which is totally fine, and I do a good job of that, but it is what it is, and it's just something that I focus on trying to do a little bit better of every single day.
George, you're the son of a coach, so I feel like, you know, at a certain point in your career, you just have this, not just for you, because of your dad, you have a coach inside your head. So you're coaching yourself. Your inside hand isn't where it needs to be on this, zone run play right here. Like, do you even have to go watch the film, George, sometimes? Or can you already know if the mistake that you made, and you're coaching yourself going, I got it, I know exactly how to fix this?
I've gotten to the point where I've, you know, it's like 10,000 reps. I was fortunate enough to take 10,000 reps of inside zone and outside zone at the University of Iowa. Yeah. and I've gotten to do the same thing while being a 49er. And so, yeah, like, there's certain plays, like, if it doesn't work, I'm like, okay, I know that my inside hand is bad. Now, all I need to do is, when I get to the tape, like, I'll see, how is my footwork? Was my first step bad? All right, I stepped underneath myself. My second step had to make up for it. Yeah, but most of the time I can coach myself. And then it's, when you get to the film, it's, was it as bad as I thought it was? Or is it not as bad as I thought it was? And I can just tweak one thing here.
Yeah. You know, you're going up against the defense every single day in training camp right now. You've had a very similar defense for 6 years. I'm seeing some wrinkles in terms of, like, three down linemen with their hands in the dirt and some guy standing up. Are you seeing some different stuff from that side of the ball every single day as opposed to the last 5 years?
A little bit here and there. You know, it's kind of fun. Nick Bosa is still Nick Bosa, so, you know, that's its own problem in itself, so that's difficult to go against every single day, but that's a great problem to have. What's really fun for me is getting to go up against Leonard Floyd, because, you know, you'll see him. He's in the three-point. He's in the two-point. He was an outside linebacker for the Rams and Bills, and now, you know, has his hand in the dirt, but he kind of bounces between. And getting to go against someone like that who I headbutted twice a year for, like, 5 years, it's kind of fun to have him on my team and just kind of talk shop with him. So there are some differences and little nuances, and you know, it's going to get called a little bit differently this year, but I'm looking forward to it because I think Coach Sorensen's going to have a great – he has a great team, and he's been a part of the defense too, so he kind of knows what people are good at. I think it's just going to continually put people in the right position to succeed.
Yeah, excited about this defense, excited about the secondary. But I got a Brandon Ayuk question for you, not the one you think. Brandon Ayuk and Fred Warner have been known to get into it in training camp. A lot of trash talking. Now, Brandon Ayuk's doing what he's doing with the contract negotiations, and hopefully that sorts itself out, and we'll see him week one against the Jets. But who is Fred Warner talking to trash to now? Because it felt like he looked at number 11 and was like, all right, I'm going to pick on him. I'm gonna just start talking trash to this receiver. Who's Fred talking to this training camp? Who's he talking trash to on the offense?
You know what? It's been a little bit different for Fred just because, you know, his guy Dre Greenlaw's not out there right now. And, you know, those two bounce a lot of energy off of each other. And so people he's talking trash to, I would say it'd be either the running backs or occasionally – me or Purdy. I'd say he wants someone to talk trash to him, and I usually just give him the silent treatment because it frustrates him, and that's kind of one of my favorite things to do is to frustrate Fred Warner.
I wouldn't want to do that, Baldy.
George, I don't have a shoe game like you do, but I do love your Zenny glasses. Like, I want a contract with Zenny, George. Like, those are some – that's a badass look. In fact, I'm going to do Baldy's walk this year in Zenny glasses if they'll sign me on. Tell me what you see, George, and why it's such a great marriage with you and Zenny.
Oh, Baldy, thanks for asking, man. I love working with Zenny. I've been with him for, like – gosh, you guys, your segues are fantastic.
You got to come on more often.
I know, guys. You got to talk to the Niners, man. They're just holding me back, I guess. That's what it is. They just won't let me. I'm a huge fan of Zenny. They've been fantastic partners with the Niners. I've been with them since 2019. And what I love about them is, like, they let me sit down, and me and my wife can control what the sunglasses look like. We had to pick and choose.
Yeah.
They kind of let us do whatever we want to do. And so then you got to see my personality out there. You see her personality out there. And then they just work with us on bringing those dreams and aspirations to life. So it's been really fun to work with them like that. But also, I really appreciate, like, they're very affordable sunglasses. Like, you're not looking at spending, like, a couple hundred dollars on one pair of shades. Like, sunglasses are meant to be worn, broken, and bought again. And so I appreciate the fact that these are all affordable stuff that also look really good while you're wearing them.
George, I'm watching that wide receiver doc and seeing just the injuries that you and Debo were going through that we didn't really, I mean, we kind of knew, but we have no idea. I mean, we just have no idea what you guys do to get yourself ready for Sunday. And then seeing you during the Super Bowl have to go out to the locker room and then you come out. I mean, you couldn't even lift your arm and whatnot. It's just a gladiator performance. Now you got to go back to Allegiant Stadium, which for you guys, I mean, that's got to be tough, right? Going back to the spot where we just lost the Super Bowl.
I don't really think so. It's a new season. I mean, I'm pretty good at flushing stuff and moving on. Like, if you let things linger and control, like, your thought process and stuff, I mean, it's just going to slow you down for the next upcoming season. There's nothing I can do to change what happened. Would have preferred to win. We didn't. But if I just let that continue to linger, it's just going to affect my overall performance and attitude for this upcoming season. And the great thing about football is it just keeps coming every single year. It's just there right again. It's ready to – you're either going to take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you, or you're going to let it like just hit you in the face. So I think we're really excited to go back there. And, you know, you might have an emotion or two when you walk into the stadium, for sure. Like, I'm not going to try to suppress that by any means. But and I'm pretty good. I like where my team's at. The guys are feeling good, and I'm just excited to go play football because I actually get to, you know, lace up the cleats for a preseason game.
George, I don't think anything irritates me more in this world right now than people that question your quarterback. Like, I don't get any of it. George, none of it, okay? And I think I've probably broken down every performance of his. Tell us what you see every day in practice, George, that nobody else gets to see, that makes this kid so special.
You know, I can give you like the, you know, like the corporate answer. Yeah, you know, he shows up to work every day, and all that stuff. But like, what you don't, what, like, you guys don't get to see is one thing I've always talked about that, like, I think is what elevates, like, just something that elevates quarterbacks or different quarterbacks is when you step in the huddle and like your voice and your presence gets the attention of all 10 other guys in the huddle. Because like I've been in a lot of huddles my entire career, and like, while I love all the quarterbacks that I played with, some of them are just like, they've got it, whatever that is. And he steps into the huddle and all 10 eyes are on him. Everybody's looking at him, and like, just his confidence that he speaks these plays with, how his understanding of the offense, like, he gets it all, like, just in those 5 to 10 seconds that you're in this huddle. And just like, I don't know if it's inspiring, but I think it's more of a, his confidence makes everybody else in the huddle more confident in themselves. And when you're in a huddle with Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel, and you're making them more confident than they already are, holy cow, that's wow. That is something that is very, very good for the 49ers. And so that's one of the things, just like, him in a huddle is fantastic. He's an incredibly hard critic on himself. Like, he'll have a pass, he'll come, like, I'm going to put that on you. Or, hey, we need to figure out, you know, you're going to sit in the zone. Let's figure that out so the next time we have that opportunity, we'll be 100% on it. And he's just so efficient with that, and I just really appreciate that about him.
And you know what, George? You're an official roaster because you dropped an S-bomb, and there's not a week that goes by on this show. I don't know any other radio show where people just feel so comfortable and so loose. I swear to God, it's amazing here. Real quick on Shanahan. What do we not know? Because I find Shanahan.
Are you guys giving him stuff on the hair?
I'm not too caught up in the hair. Let Shanahan do Shanahan. Great. I'm glad he got rid of the mustache, though. I'm not going to lie about that. But
I love the mustache.
It's, I don't know.
Are you guys ripping him on the hair?
Oh, I love his hair as well.
Well, George, I got to ask you. He's like unintentionally funny to me.
It's flowing.
At the pressers, the way he dresses, the way he rocks the Yeezys, the way he loves the Carter. What is it that you love about Shanahan? Not the corporate answer, but what is it that we don't know about him, the head coach? Because a lot of people see him. He's all serious. He's in his play sheet on game day. What is it that we don't know about Shanahan?
Let's see. I thoroughly enjoy hanging out in Cabo with Coach Shanahan. He's a hell of a time. he likes to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, he's a solid golfer. I enjoy doing that.
Really? Wow.
But that's one thing I really enjoy about Kyle.
Is he picking up the bill?
One of the best things.
Is he picking up the bill? Again? Is he picking up the bill in Cabo?
Oh, always.
That's good.
Who's the biggest cheater at golf on the team?
He's a nice guy. But for one more thing on Shanahan is, like, one of the best things about him is he is so brutally honest all the time. Like, he doesn't want there to ever be a question where you're like, if you want to know what your understanding is and where you are in his mind and with the team, if you go into his office, he will tell you brutally honestly with, like, no holds barred. Like, he'll just tell you exactly what's on his mind and what he's thinking. And I think he's done a really good job about understanding that, like, if you fabricate stuff to football players, we pick up on BS pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And you have to be honest all the time. And so I think that's, like, one of the reasons Kyle's so successful is, like, since day one and, like, when I first started talking to him in his office was, and, like, other guys that have talked to him, is, like, he's done a really good job of just being honest all the time. And I think that's very helpful. And, you know, maybe sometimes he says, like, he tells me more than he probably should, but there are some things I don't want to know because I'm just, you know, I just work here. But I appreciate the honesty because I think that's really healthy in the football team. Now, what'd you ask me about golf?
Well, like, who's the best golfer on the team, and who's the one most likely to cheat? We all know somebody in the crew who's most likely to cheat. They hit a ball in the bush, and they're like, oh, I found it. It's like, you didn't find that ball.
Oh, wow. That question, that starts some angry friendship. I'm going to get yelled at. But I think Jake Moody is our best golfer. I golfed with him multiple times over the spring season. Yeah, he is – Man, he's just average. They tend to have a lot of free time, George. Yeah, I know. You know, it's those specialists, man. Like, hey, what did you guys do for camp today?
They're never getting treatment, George. They always have free time.
Yeah, it's just like, what did you guys do today? I went and golfed 18 while you guys were at practice. Must be nice. Jeez, Lou. Let's see. I would say Jake is probably one of the best ones. You know, I'm trying to think. Trent Williams, you know, you get him out on the course. You know, we got him starting to play like 2 years ago. And, you know, he is he likes to win at golf. I will say that. He likes to win at golf. He likes to win it at whatever he tries to do. So you never know with Trent. He could either hit one perfectly straight or he might take three mulligans, and if you don't call him out on it, he might just call it as, you know, what it is.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Nobody's questioning
him. Hey, George, man, this was a lot of fun. I know we cut you on for a little longer than we were supposed to, man, but we appreciate the time with you, man. We love watching you play, run block, catching touchdown passes. Good luck on the season. You guys have given us so much joy over the last 7-8 years, so we expect the same thing this year, man, when it starts up Monday Night Football against the New York Jets September the 9th.
Woohoo! It's going to be a great time. Thanks for having me on. Nice talking to you, Baldy.
All right, George, I'll see you. I'll see you for that Kansas City game.
There it is. George Kittle, that the people's tight end here on the River Islands guest line. A lot to digest from that one. We did have a trade in the NFL real quick before we get back to George Kittle. Did you see this trade,
no.
Baldy? Washington and the Philadelphia Eagles making
what?
A trade.
Okay. An in-division trade?
In-division trade. Former first-round pick. Jahan Dotson going to Philadelphia.
They need a third receiver.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson and a fifth round pick to the Eagles.
I think Luke McCaffrey beat him out.
Wow, for
what? I think so. I mean, that's what I was hearing.
Terry McLaurin and him, huh?
Well, I mean, they're like it's not a very good town around Jaden Daniels, but I hear Jahan has not had a good camp. The Eagles need a third receiver real bad. Former first round pick. You don't usually see that in your own division, but it kind of says, you know, why they were interested in Ayuk back in the day.
Wow.
A lot of hype around Kellen Moore and being the offensive coordinator. Because you lose Shane Steichen, you lose a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've now found out, and Bonte and I were talking about this all last year, Shane's clearly very good.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Indianapolis is lucky. Now, he's a good coach.
Shocked Shanahan's a golfer.
Well, Trent Williams, like, could you imagine, like, nah, Trent, you're lying five, hitting six. Like, I don't think anyone's got the guts to be able to do that.
You're not going
to
argue with Big Trent.
No way.
Like, you know what? Yeah,
well, you're not going to win it.
Yeah, you're not going to win it.
You're not going to win.
What is it with Big Trent? How long have you known Big Trent? Trent Williams.
He came in the league in 2011, so I've probably known him since 2011. You know,
really?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, I thought you would know him like maybe in college a little bit.
I didn't know him in Oklahoma back then, you know, or Longview, Texas. But, you know, once he came in the league, it was pretty clear. Like, this was the fourth pick in the draft. He's probably been the best tackle drafted since 2011.
What makes the elite of the elite tackle? I mean, clearly size and athleticism.
Well, it's the athletic ability. Like, you know, most offensive tackles, most offensive linemen are lesser athletes than the guys they go up against. Unless you're Lane Johnson or Trent Williams or Penei Sewell. Like, you run as fast as any defensive lineman you're playing against. You cut off the backside. If you make a mistake, you recover easily. And then, you know, just the way Trent practices, like, he dominates people in practice. He doesn't get beat in practice. Like, it's just that mentality just, and you used to watch him in pregame warm-up. Meant like, I know guys that don't come out of the locker room until the team comes out. Trent comes out and he works on his steps and footwork against air before every game.
So I had heard, and I don't know if this story is accurate, so please jump in if you have. I had heard a story that he's not big on like actually like lifting weights and doing things like that, but he's the strongest guy on the team. And somehow the weight and conditioning coach had challenged him and got under his skin, and he went in there and then just set all the records. Is he one of those guys?
It wouldn't surprise me that he wasn't a big guy in the weight room because, like, he plays the game from the waist down, and then he's got tremendous hands. But he's just naturally, George was just on, but like his ability just to snap his hips, and like George started learning how to block from a 4-point stance, and you're just hitting these sleds at Iowa. But Trent's ability just to snap his hips and move people is, I mean, maybe Jason Peters, maybe Penei Sewell. There's only a couple guys in this whole league that can just move anybody in front of him, and he's one of them.
Wow. 888-957-9570 will react to George Kittle. Our thoughts on him. Very impressive, man. His attention to detail when it comes to football, and he can have fun off the football field. George Kittle, one of the best best in the business, and you just heard why. So we'll recap that. Take your phone calls. Ask Baldy anything. We had an hour left, man. This show was flown by. I love when Baldy comes to the studio. He's here all 4 hours. We'll take your phone calls on the other side. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.